This is just strange for me because most of the time at the festival, I just see the back of Ron's head.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are joined once again by Ron Bauman, our most frequent guest. He's here to talk about an update on everything going on in his life, including a trip to the Ark Park and a dog park.
We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello, it's me, part the waves.
And Nick Glover.
Two by two, motherfuckers.
And we are joined, once again, as we are frequently joined around this time of year, by our good friend Ron Bauman from the Tortuga Twins. Welcome back, Ron.
My very first appearance on Geek Without Gods. I am so proud to finally made it, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
He's been begging. He's been begging. He sits
on,
on the bench.
Let me be on your show.
He sits on the bench in front of me at Cast Call. And like every day, he turns around. It's the middle of Cast Call. People are talking. There's important stuff going on. He's like, Tim, can I be in your podcast?
And you know us. We are very judicious about who's allowed to be on this podcast.
Yeah, we don't just let anybody be on the podcast. So
we wouldn't do something as base as auction off guest spots for charity
or 10 years.
Or even just draw names out of a hat at a convention.
No, we would never do that. And so we carefully curated Ron for this episode. So what we have as a topic with Ron is catching up with Ron. That's his topic. Although I believe we are going to touch on the Ark Museum.
Ark Encounter Museum.
I've been spending the past couple of years since the end of the pandemic doing more road trips, doing more road adventures and stuff like that. Everything from visiting the Lake Sammamish State Park where Ted Bundy captured two women on the same day to haunted houses and hotels, the Clown Motel. But I've been wanting to take Scarlett to see how the other half of the country thinks.
She didn't love the Ted Bundy Park. She didn't love the Ted Bundy Park.
I keep the murder stuff between Shannon and I. Scarlett's not into it yet, but you know she's a white woman in America. She'll be a true crime obsessed eventually. Though I guess off white, she's a crew because But I really, the next trip I get with her, I'm taking her to the Creation Museum. It's by the same group.
Ken Ham and company.
And if you'd like, on this extremely visual media, I will send you guys some of the photos I selected. And I will tell you this. The thing was impressive. It wasn't absurdly well attended, but it wasn't empty either. I'm sure it's making money. And I was fascinated by the dedication and delusion that, in my opinion, went into building a museum explaining how the Ark and young Earth creationism was 100% correct.
May I just quickly read something from the website?
Yes, please.
From the website, it says, if you go to what to expect when you visit the Ark, and it says, when you arrive at the Ark Encounter, you will pay for parking as you enter the parking lot. Get your tickets or have pre-purchased tickets scanned at the admissions building. Ride the shuttle to the Answers Center on the main Ark grounds. Beyond that, they can't tell you what's going to happen. But those are the three things that will definitely happen. You will pay for parking. You will get your tickets scanned and you will ride the shuttle bus.
Did those things happen, Ron? Can you confirm?
Those things, in fact, did. And I'd like to also point out that they have no sense of irony at the Ark Museum, because one of the very first things, and I took pictures of it, is they wanted to credit their artists, and so they claimed artistic license.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I will tell you this. The people who put this thing together were absolute God level, pardon the pun, of motivated reasoning.
Okay.
Because they went on to explain, they created feeding systems to explain how all the animals were fed.
I see that they will explain how Noah fed all the animals.
There were only 7,000 animals on the ark. And now, I'm sorry that you guys don't know this, but it clearly stated that there were not two of every animal, but two of every kind. So there was, and I have some pictures to support this, there were variations of dinosaurs. Okay, here. Did you know, this is from one of the pictures I took, there were up to 85 kinds of dinosaurs on the ark. There were two tyrannosaurids, two stegosaurids, two ceratopsids, and two brachiosaurids. And God cleverly did not send the biggest ones. They were very small dinosaurs.
Tiny Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Oh, like babies. Baby Tyrannosaurus.
No, they were fully grown because
just the bottom of the size.
Oh, they're like the extinct miniature elephants and miniature hippopotamuses that we
there
killed.
There you go. That the we Tyrannosaurids. Killed off. And, yeah. And God cleverly, because God couldn't have just decided I'm not going to kill everybody or everyone dies without a flood.
They sure. were sinners, so Ron. They were sinners.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were created with that flaw.
They were all, but two of all the animals were also apparently
two
sinners.
Two of every kind.
Two of every kind.
No. Let me stop you there.
Okay.
Molly has it right. Two of every kind.
There were only 3,500 kinds. Kinds
well,
of what?
Actually,
doesn't matter.
I think the actual number that they came up with, my favorite, is they had a big mural that said, imagine a godless world. And then I have a picture of me going, okay, I'm in with that. Hang on. Some of their justifications are amazing. Like, were there unicorns on the ark?
Were there?
Well, newer Bible versions translates with the Hebrew with the terms of wild ox or wild oak. Skeptics frequently mock the Bible because older translations include the word unicorn in the text. But they say, you're being ridiculous. Oh. Scientifically, what fits that criteria?
It's a rhinoceros.
It's a rhinoceros.
Yes.
See, now, that's funny because I do mock the Bible, but that's not why. It's not because of the word unicorn.
See, and what's funny is that literally the reason unicorns exist as a mythical creature is rhinoceros. That what happened was people went to Africa and they came back and they described a rhinoceros, and what they said was, well, it's kind of like a horse with a horn.
Like, which, a pale horse.
Yeah, which is not really correct, but but it's probably the best description they could come up with at the time. And so that turned into unicorns. They're like, well, you know, a unicorn is a rhinoceros in the Bible, it's like, well, all you did was discover how unicorns
originated. You know rhinoceroses can't see virgins?
You know, I've seen how, like, medieval...
How do they reproduce?
I've seen how medieval artists draw, like, cat faces and things. Yeah. So confusing a rhinoceros for a unicorn is not
a big
actually,
shocker.
Yeah, that's,
but
not,
also,
a, that's
like,
not a big reach for me.
Listen to this. This doesn't sound as good. The last rhinoceros. Like, it's just not as good. It's not as good.
Let me do some learning for you, okay? First off... God created the earth in 6 days, and that is a literal, and it's true because the Bible says it's true.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Even though the word kind is an English word, it was two of every kind of animal, and then they try to make a kind as a distinction, a branch of the tree, the phylum, and you know, blah, blah, blah. I've not seen kind before, but there were, you know, 85 dinosaur kinds on the thing.
Well, there's three kinds. Kind is the top one. Kings play chess on funny green squares. So there's the animal kind, the mineral kind. And
I like you very much, Molly. And there's no evolution, but there is differentiation of species that looks like evolution, but we're just because we're dumb. And that's what they're here to teach us about. And they went to amazing lengths. You stand in that, Tim, you've done some traveling overseas. You guys have traveled overseas,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And you know that the word minster means big-ass fucking impressive church.
Sure.
You stand inside the ark, and it feels like you're standing in a minster. You are literally feeling awe in there, and as well as, what's wrong with you people?
Mm.
You know?
Well, they're stupid, like they said.
Yeah, it is not an unimpressive edifice by any stretch.
Well, I mean, you would hope. I mean, it looks gigantic, but I do have a question about Kynes, just really quickly. Were there lions and tigers on the Ark, or is Great Cat a kind?
I am unclear how far the differentiation happens, but I would like to point out that I took a photo of the Tyrannosaur kind of animal, the placard for it, and mm-hmm. it says, first off, this is important, status, presumed extinct. Adult lengths, 9 to 43 feet.
Oh, that's a big range.
That's small.
Well, when they're born.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
No, adult. It's an adult.
Oh. Well, 9 feet is more like a Utah raptor or something
well,
like that.
No. God sent the little ones so they would fit on the ark.
Right.
And they designed lighting systems and
he has an ineffable plan.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why. It's never made any sense to me, but yeah.
It's ineffable, so you don't have to worry about it.
Ron, we're looking at the website and stuff for this, and I think the thing that caught my eye there's a lot to see, but I think the thing that caught my eye the most was the description of the pre-flood world, where we can see what the world was like in Noah's time and discover the surprising technology of early man and see for ourselves why God sent the global flood. It sounds like they're showing us, you know, why mankind deserved to die, or at least 99% of it. But then the picture
there was arena battles, by the way, battles with dinosaurs in there.
Yeah, that's the picture
what we're
they have.
Seeing.
The picture they have is like an indoor gladiator arena with like medieval shields and shit, and like a small T-Rex coming out of like a gate to eat a bunch of gladiator dudes.
Are you not entertained?
I looked at that, and I thought it looked kind of like the Globe Theater, and I'm like, is this is this like
a bit
like biblical Shakespeare? Is what's going on here with dinosaurs?
People despise their own creator. Lust for power and a desire for sensuality in all forms flourish. Well, that's kind of my life.
I mean, like, I'm a hedonist.
The world was thoroughly infested with violence, idolatry, and every imaginable form of immorality. Again, my show.
Did they explain what happened to the plants? Because I've always wondered. I remember as a child, I asked, what happened to the plants? And my father said, well, the plants were fine. Plants love water. And I was like, they don't love being drowned. Like, it's very...
So let me explain the other part that you don't understand.
Yeah.
The Grand Canyon is a remnant of the flood. The Grand Canyon was only formed when the flood drained away.
Yeah.
All of the fossils that we think we find from 65 million years ago mm-hmm. are all just animals that were buried from the flood.
Okay.
And they went to some... I know that it seems like there's layers, but then they show some very, very scientific... And by the way, air quotes don't go on a podcast.
Was
the
flood
here.
65 million years ago?
No. The flood was less than 6,000 years
uh-huh,
ago.
Uh-huh.
They have documentation.
Yeah.
They were far reaching. Here are some trees that froze in the ice this way, thus proving that these layers don't mean anything. Here are some human footprints near dinosaur footprints, thus proving that the geology, the rest of the geological understanding of how the Earth formed means nothing. They have answers. They have answers. They're based on.
They're not based on actual investigation or science, but I mean, I guess they are answers.
They're based on motivated reasoning by God. Did you know, for example, that it was an egregious sin to have a cartoon depiction of the Ark? You know, the one we always see with the giraffe head sticking out of it?
Yeah.
That's a sin.
So they said that's a sin?
It is. It absolutely is a sin.
How is this museum not a sin then?
Huh?
How is the museum not a sin then? Aren't they depicting the Ark?
Because cute Arks are dangerous. They distort God's word and ultimately malign his character. If you make it there are 7 Ds of deception.
Oh, God.
Or 7 Ds, and one of them is deceptively cute. If you make the Ark too cute, minimizes it. What was the lesson behind it?
It was not cute. If you've ever walked into a farm barn, you can imagine the smell of the Ark. It was not cute. It was Vietnam.
See, I assume that the reason that you can't do the Ark with the giraffe head sticking out is because they look like penises.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Go to a doctor.
This is Ken Ham.
Penis doesn't start with a D.
This is Ken Ham. There are no penises.
There's only bananas, and they fit perfectly into a man's hand.
But wait, dick starts with a D, so that would work. Dick deception.
Wait, I have to tell you this, though. And this... Look, I don't know if this was to fuck with us. I don't know if this was their legit belief. But they went to great lengths to say the Bible does not... promote prejudice. The Bible does not promote racism, and it's ungodly to be prejudiced. And they went to great lengths to depict a black woman as the wife of one of Noah's sons.
Oh, wow.
And I was floored.
Woke ruined the Ark encounter. Woke.
They go to great cubits to do that. Actually, that's.
Did they have something that showed what a cubit was compared to a foot or a decimeter or whatever?
They discussed what a cubit was, and I took a picture of that as well. My favorite part of it, the coin press machine was broken. Broke my heart, and then they were doing some remodeling, and the remodeling signs are, "Pardon our dust. We live in a fallen world."
Oh my God!
So
yeah, I'm gonna send all these photos to the group, so you guys can look over them as we're talking.
So speaking of cubits, on their website they say there's the FAQs and stuff, and one of them is, was there enough room for all the animals?
And only 7,000 animals.
See if you can identify my favorite sentence or favorite clause in this little paragraph. According to the Bible, the Ark measured 300 by 50 by 30 cubits, which is a volume of about 1.88 million cubic feet. Without getting into all the math, all the animals, food storage, and supplies would have fit comfortably on the Ark. That's their It would have. Would they all have fit? Yeah! Don't worry about it.
I'm reading that the real Noah's Ark, comma, the one described in the Bible, comma, was amazingly seaworthy.
I mean, it would have to be, wouldn't it?
Amazingly seaworthy. Like, you're thinking, you're picturing the Titanic, and I'm sorry, but you're wrong.
No, it was way more seaworthy than the Titanic. You could hit that Ark with an iceberg and it wouldn't sink.
What was the lighting solution? Because that's another question I had as a child, was were there candles or oil lamps?
Oil lamps?
Yes. Oil lamps.
Oil.
And they had the oil they needed.
A central atrium that and it provided, there was also a central atrium that provided a shaft of light down the center of it. They literally thought this stuff up. They literally thought about automatic heaters. Yeah. I mean, not the Ark builders, Ken Ham and company.
Well, yeah,
again, zero sense of irony.
It's kind of remarkable because, I mean, they can't provide any biblical evidence for all this stuff they thought up. There's nothing in the Bible.
And that's the other part. There are what, half a couple of passages in Genesis about this?
Yeah.
And they built an... they're just filling in the gaps. Which one are you looking at, Molly?
I'm looking at things to do. Truth Traveler VR. Carousel. Dining, speakers, shopping, a zoo, animal encounters, a children's playground, true song contents, zip lines, camel rides.
Zip line over the Ark. Yeah.
Every grifter with a theme park needs to put zip lines don't they?
Mining sluice.
I do the zip line. Zip lines are cool. I like zip lines. They're great.
The mining sluice and fossil find.
So, okay.
Hold on.
So, someone...
Our next episode is going to be boners, and I just changed my boner to zip line over the ark. That's what it is now.
The history in God's Word provides a framework for understanding fossils. Not only will your family enjoy revealing and identifying the fossils from your bag of dirt, but you will also learn about the science of paleontology from a biblical perspective. Because I'm like... sluicing, like that's like fossil shit. Nope, it is not fossils. It is Jesus's placed perfection.
Ron, did you?
Fossils are just remnants from the flood, guys. Get over you, and don't even get me started on carbon dating.
So, Ron, I mean, obviously, like some people might have ethical concerns about going to a thing like this. Even ironically, like financially supporting them, they don't care if you're buying tickets ironically or out of morbid curiosity or not, because, you know, it's their money. Did you at least steal something from the gift shop or something on your way out to try to, like, balance the scales?
No.
I would have stolen a sign or something for sure.
And I support this wholeheartedly. I'm going to do the Creation Museum next, and I don't want to give Ken Ham that money either. But what I do want to do is I want to take my daughter to it. And she was silently mortified. She would not talk to me in it, but she rolled, because she was trying to be polite to the believers, but she was rolling her eyes so hard you could hear it. And this was like 2 years ago, so, you know, 14.
Do you think there was anybody
done?
Do you think there was anybody in there, Ron, who like you was in there to just see this, or were you like the only non-believers in there, and everybody else there was a believer?
I strongly suspect that I was the only non-believer. There was a lot of very fervent people there. There were a lot of people that were. You could tell they were moved, and you know, I've seen people walk into, heck, I've walked into churches and gone, oh wow, yeah, it's amazing, you know. Even I was moved by the beauty of the architecture, and if I believed in such things,
what did you wear?
Go on, Nick.
Did you wear anything? Did you wear anything like that flagged you as a person that they need to watch out for? Like, what was your general style?
Just my tortue. I downplayed it a little bit, but I did wear the long hair, the nail polish, and a Tortuga shirt. So it's not like I look like I belong.
Okay. Did you get looks?
Some. I don't think they clocked me necessarily as a complete non-believer, but I don't think that they really cared. You know, they had my money. I'm sure if I had acted out in any way.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, and I can't believe none of us has mentioned the fact that it is on record that the Ark Museum was damaged by flood, and if there's nothing else funnier in the world than that, I'm okay with that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Did you, like, when you left tips, did you pay people with $20 bills that were fake $20 bills, and on the back
they
have,
like, the Bible verse?
They had, like, Charles Darwin quotes or something.
Yeah.
It would have been great.
Link to James Randi's website.
This could have been a $20 bill, but you're an idiot Christian.
Yeah, that would have been great. Okay.
Can somebody get on printing those?
I would make that in a heartbeat to go along with our slips that you drop in the Salvation Army buckets.
Yeah, I would do that for like the next time we go to do a church thing, and we you know, just drop those in the collection plate. That'd be great. Okay, so I don't know. Is there anything else to talk about with the Ark, or are we going to catch up with Ron?
Guys, I went so nobody else has to. Oh. It was impressive. It was. Well, I'm sorry, Molly.
I have one more question. Is the ark visible? Can you see the outside of it? Like, is it all housed in a building, or can you actually see the structure from the outside?
You walk through a very theme parky gate,
mm-hmm.
and it's rainbow colored because, of course, rainbow promise. Blah blah blah.
Sure,
blah,
sure,
blah,
sure.
Blah.
Take it back from the gaze.
And you come around the corner, and no shit, that's an ark.
Oh, yeah.
That is an
Nick just found a picture online, and it's fucking nuts.
Can you see it from the freeway?
That's
or
a person?
I don't think you can. I think they cleverly built it so you cannot.
Oh, they learned from Disney's berm technology.
Don't go. I don't want them to have any more money, but it was important to me to as both an object lesson and to kind of keep, you know, keep an eye on how these people think.
Sure.
You know, it is fascinating. Look, I want to be the most open-minded person in the world, but it's just delusional.
Oh, yeah.
These people, especially the young Earth creationists, I mean, again, utterly impressed at the lengths that they will go to have any other answer than the right one.
Yeah, and honestly, like, what's really fascinating to me is that, like, the cost to build it, I don't believe they've yet, I mean, I guess it's possible they've broken even. But looking at this and reading all the stuff that's available and knowing, you know, the upkeep and costs and overhead and just to keep the lights on, I can't imagine they're turning much of a profit.
Well, I mean,
let me counter with this. A couple of years ago, I wanted to go see Ansel on the Lion movie. What is it?
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Thank you. Yeah.
Narnia.
And we ended up being invited in free because of how I looked and because his church had bought out the whole showing.
Mm.
There are entire churches and schools that this is a field trip for.
Oh, sure. I'm sure there are. But my question, were you there on a weekend or a weekday, Ron?
Weekday.
So so you didn't see it as at its busiest.
Okay. Still, no. Though, that's wild. Man.
Yeah. They have so much other funding. They have so much other money.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need, you know, and I don't think they're losing money either. You know, there are enough people.
Oh, I doubt they're losing money. I just can't imagine they're making a ton, but I guess maybe that isn't the goal. You know, like maybe the people who work there are volunteers. Maybe the people who, you know, like maybe they're getting service hours or something.
I mean,
don't know.
I'll bet all of the proceeds from Kirk Cameron Saves Christmas go to the Ark Park.
There's another series of movies out by the Gods Not Dead people, and I don't want to look into it more because I'm afraid that we might have to watch it again.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up, Ron, because now I'll start looking.
It couldn't be worse than Grandpa Goes to College, Ron.
Oh, my God, Ron.
It couldn't be worse than Grandpa Goes to College.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Wasn't it Gramps?
Gramps Goes to College.
So that somehow makes it even worse that it's Gramps Goes to College.
I think that, I mean, we've talked about the Ark Encounter a couple times, you know, I think mostly when it was being built or first opened or whatever. I think people listening should go do like a Google image search and look at some of the pictures and get a sense of the scale, because the people are really tiny. The Ark is super fucking big, and look at the park and the size of the park and think like Disney scale and stuff like that, because like, it's an undertaking, and it's absolutely ridiculous. The whole thing is a ludicrous display. And I think, you know, I get being morbidly curious, and there are a lot of pictures of it. And people should go look at those pictures and go, wow, this is fucking stupid.
And then, like, think about the poor people that could feed.
All right.
But if you do pay for it, I want to know about the lions and the tigers. Are they one kind or are they two different kinds?
If I do go, I want to ask them, how many people do you think this entire complex could house and feed and keep them out of poverty? And just seeing them just be like, well, this is for the kinds of animals.
I just want to steal the sluice hours sign for Molly.
The sluice hours.
Sluice hours.
The sluice hours are weather permitting.
Okay, so that's the first part of catching up with Ron, is we finally got our Ark Park information.
Yeah, we got our Ark Park. And then, this is a little embarrassing. And there are people that won't agree with how I'm handling the situation.
Uh-oh.
But I have yet another update to my running series, Is Mom, Ron's Mom Dumb?
Is Ron's Mom Dumb?
We answered it. We answered yes, right? I mean,
she is. She's. so, turns out that She had a hip replaced and then another hip replaced. She kept falling. Aww. And her husband is an older gentleman who is smaller than her now, because all she does is sit on the couch and become a progressively bigger and give away his money.
Sure.
And so we had to commit her to a home.
Oh, no. Uh-huh. I mean, that's probably for the best.
You would think.
Hmm.
Except it turns out in all of this that because of that, it turns out he has dementia that she was hiding.
Oh, no.
Because she was comfortable living at home and he was functioning on a day-to-day basis and loved her, but didn't really question where the money was going or anything else. So his daughter came in and took him away and won't tell her, because she is still shoveling money away to these scam artists.
Oh, my God.
Like, he got a whole brand new phone number and... 3 hours later, the scammers were calling his number because my mom had given them the
number. Oh my God.
Uh-huh. And so she's in a home and the daughter of her husband is selling the house out from under her,
mm-hmm.
because she's understandably pissed that my mom is just giving away these money to the scammers.
Yeah.
I hired a lawyer.
Sure.
And my favorite niece and I always knew that we were going to be in this position, and favorite niece always knew she was going to take care of her. One rule: everybody shut up. Let us handle this. We're the grown-ups in the room. But my mom starts telling all these lies. All she wants to do is go back home and keep spending his money.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else gets involved. And then finally, we realize she has never once said, "Hey, will you help me?"
Mm-hmm.
The hospital, the people who are professionals have tested repeatedly, like, she is not weak. She's not crazy.
She doesn't have dementia. She doesn't have any infirmity. Yeah.
And if she chooses to give away her money like this, and it got to the point where I had to walk away, and Tim, I'm sorry, I know this is going to offend you endlessly. I had to walk away from my own mother.
Yeah.
It doesn't offend me.
Tim's mom was great. Yeah.
And I loved my mom.
Yeah.
And you may love your mom too, but if my mom was in the same situation, but I mean, we've talked on this podcast all the time about the difference between family and chosen mm-hmm. family, right?
Yeah.
My chosen family is more important to me than my family. It's just that I happen to choose my actual family because they're awesome and I love them.
Your mom loved you unconditionally.
Yeah.
And that is a thing that is different from somebody who is lying to you actively to your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. And you try to pin her down with logic. I called her the other day because, I mean, it's everything. I just need to give Tom Selleck $5,000 so that he can get his ship.
Oh.
No, really. Get his ship through his yacht through the Panama Canal so he can come up and pick me up and I called her up. It's like, Mom, how many times have you given these people money? I've only given them like that $35,000. That's a lie, and you know it. Okay. Mom, have you any of these cars that you've won in any of these sweepstakes showed up? Well, there's a car in the parking lot right now. No, there isn't, and you know it.
Oh my
Mom,
God.
Have you ever gotten any money? Well, not yet.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry, Ron. That sounds so hard.
Ron, have you considered scamming your mom? And then, like,
I don't think she's got anything left yet.
Just
like that way you could put the money away for her.
my niece was doing it, had power of attorney, mm-hmm. and she figured out ways to go around it. She was sending the money on gift cards from Dollar General.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
scammers are teaching my mom how to scam better.
My grandmother had Lewy body dementia, and as it was progressing, my mom and her brother had to take away everything. I mean, like, they just took over her credit cards, took over her bank accounts, took over everything. But she was still, and she would get so mad because my mom would be like, Mom, you donated $100 to Trump. And she's like, no, I didn't. And it's like, yes, you did. Yes, here is the receipt. Yes, you did. I would never. It's like, well, you fucking did. So, like, what, I don't know what to tell you.
And then, like, giving $100 to the other candidate.
But she had dementia.
Too, right?
So, like, at least to that degree, like, it was understandable. But, man, that's rough.
Well, she went so far as to take out a loan on her paid for car that he paid for, mm-hmm. so that she could then give that money to the scammers, and then lies about it.
Oof. Man,
and it's just so frustrating that yeah, but you know it's like any other junkie. You can't cure them until they want to be cured.
Right,
and I don't think she's gonna live long enough for that.
Yeah. Well, I hope, and this is going to sound callous, I hope it's over for you soon, one way or another. Thank you. I take it
exactly as you intended it to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. From one person who completely empathizes, and I mean that dramatically, to another.
Yeah.
Guys, we've been doing this a while. I'm glad we're friends.
Yeah.
I mean, except for Tim, of course, but I mean, you know.
Well, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, and you see Tim all the fucking time. Yeah, that's the problem.
If you'd shut up at cast call, Ron, because I'm trying to pay attention.
I got yelled at the other day. Ricky gave me a dirty look. My damn business partner gave me a dirty look.
Tim did say at the beginning of this that all he sees at cast call is the back of your head, and then we went on to ask if it was also the curve of your spine and your creamy buttocks, and he said yes. So
I don't know why he doesn't put on his tights in the morning, but...
To be fair, I know the entertainment director at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, and I don't know if I'd care to hear anything he has to say either. I mean,
I don't want to stir up any uncomfortable things, but I will also say that one of our previous entertainment directors, his morning meetings were so sternum drang that I would actually text the entertainment director from the previous show and say, can you please come do our morning meeting?
Yeah.
I have a series of quotes like that. Please stop telling us how everything sucks and everything's bad.
I bet I know which entertainment director that was.
I've been around for a while. It could be any number of them.
No, I bet I know which one it was.
Yeah, you do.
What else is there to catch up with you on, Ron, now that we know that your mom is stupid and you've had to cut off contact with her as much as possible, and you went to the Ark Park?
I fell madly in love with yet another two Tim Minchin songs.
Okay.
I saw him in concert here. I really like a song called Lonely Tonight, which was a very beautiful song about how, hey, you're really hot. My girlfriend's not here, so I'm going to just go back to the hotel. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can relate to that once upon a time, you know? and then I was like, I only know three Tim songs, but I'm going to this concert here in Minneapolis. I'm going to this concert. He didn't play any of them. Didn't care. There's a song, and I bet it would appeal to Nick and Molly because I automatically attribute you guys having the same value system as I do. Uh-oh. That's called Apart Together. And it's a love song that starts with a couple freezing to death in a mobile home in the middle of nowhere.
That does sound like our whole milieu.
Yeah. Ron,
I literally, Shannon sent me to the concert and said, you can't go alone. What? You can't go alone because you'll be weeping like a baby. Take a friend. So I took a friend to the concert and I immediately goes, this is our song. She goes, honey, that's not how it works. Like, well, this is my song for you. So Apart Together by Tim Minchin.
That's, Ron, you know the Mountain Goats, the band, the Mountain Goats?
I'm not familiar.
I'll send you something.
They have a song called No Children that is not Molly and I's song, but it is a song that we enjoy as a couple song. And when we tell people that who are familiar with the song, usually their response is like, oh, God,
they're pretty horrified.
Because it's absolutely about like a bad divorce. Without kids involved, and so because there aren't kids, they're kind of allowed to make it as bad as they can. And it's dark. And Molly sang it for me at the talent show
at the Renfest
back when y'all did that
in 2014.
Yeah,
I think
with Jeffrey Brown on guitar.
That was pretty close to the last year of the talent show.
It was the second to last year. Yeah,
But yeah. Very so nice. you might be right about that being. Something we enjoy for sure.
Yeah, I believe it's schmaltzy as hell, you know, which is one of the reasons why Shannon makes fun of me about it. But there you go.
Yeah,
I'm ready when you are.
All right. Well, I'm glad we caught up with you, Ron, and I'm glad we ironically are in the same same state, and yet recording remotely.
You know, shit happens.
Shit happens. But we need to get on to five questions.
Ooh.
And okay. I believe that you have prepared five questions for us today.
I have, and I didn't mean for this to come out as a theme like it did, but it did. And so it is, so you're starting a cult. Ooh. My five questions are, nice. So you're starting a cult.
Okay.
Okay, let's do it.
So you're starting a cult, part one. You've seen the light and decided that the real money and powers in organized religion have started a cult. What is the name of your cult, and give me three guiding tenets without touching sins or afterlife, because that's going to be the next question.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are we, so I have a question here. Are we just like out to rip people off whole scale? Like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to turn dark side.
Or do we believe?
Or is this like, you know, am I going to
tell me?
Okay. All right.
I operate from the belief that all cult leaders know what the fuck they're doing.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
My cult is called Sparkle Motion. And our three tenets are believing in the beauty of the world, observing the beauty that comes specifically from motion. And the third one is glitter.
Oh, boy. I got to think of a name. Hang on. I've got the cult. Okay, so the cult is, it's not really paramilitary, but like, you know how like you could say the Boy Scouts are technically kind of paramilitary, right? It's like, it's on par with that, right? There's a lot of nature and enjoying nature, but there's also a really strong focus on preparedness and on getting ready and on, you know, like building a shelter and storing food. Doom prepping. Yeah. Doom prepping is doomsday prepping is definitely
a big, doomsday prepping is tight.
It's definitely a part of the cult because it is a doomsday cult. The belief is that the whole world is going to go to shit and only those that are prepared will survive. And then the world will be ours to remake. Kind of like a reverse rapture.
That just sounds like the Living Dead.
Yeah, well, you know, no zombies in this one. The cult is
The Walking Dead, I should say. But
it's it's the prepared. That's it. It's just they're the prepared. That's the cult.
We are the prepared.
We are the prepared.
We are the prepared.
It's really not far off from so many of the Mormon cults and everything that are out there. Everyone's post-apocalypse. Yeah. So, by the way, you guys are so much more wholesome than I am. Go on.
So my cult is called AINT or AINT.
Okay.
And it is anti-artificial intelligence. And by artificial intelligence, that is literally all technology. So the main precept.
Luddites.
Yeah. The main precept is to get rid of all worldly technological devices, preferably by selling them on the black market and providing that money to the cult. That's the main precept. Then the secondary precepts are that you need to tithe at least 30% of everything that you make to the cult. And the third precept is the other 70% you need to put into lucrative bonds. That pay out to me.
Yeah.
As far as actual tenets or beliefs, you know, I'll say, you know, prepare and get ready and be ready for the shit hitting the fan. The second one is, it's the weird twist that everyone says when people are talking about how the cult isn't that bad. And that's that the cult focuses on how humans have a responsibility to animals and to nature and strongly encourages having pets, you know, like dogs and stuff. Yeah, totally cool with the, because you know, what they don't talk about is that, you know, the pets, you can eat them later. Right. and then the third precept is like, you know, if anyone is trying to like get in the way of your preparedness, well, they're an enemy of the cult. So, I mean, you know, and that's kind of up to me to decide who that is. Cause I'm the cult leader. Right. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah. Clearly.
Yeah. Right.
I think one of my precepts is definitely communal living.
Oh, sure.
Because then you only need like one Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
For everybody. But you can't use it. So
it's weird
because
most
Wi-Fi.
Cults have multiple wives.
Oh. I'm not super into that part of it. No.
Just want your monogamous about like, your signals.
More people you can play board games with.
I mean, other people
Tim.
Can be polyamorous, but not me. I mean, I'm cool.
One Wi-Fi, Only one Wi-Fi.
Only one Wi-Fi.
Ron, you're sex cult, right?
Clearly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But then what would your cult be in this instance?
Look, I am, a couple years ago, when I still had to work in the winter, I put together a resume, and I realized at the time that I was perfectly qualified to tell jokes on a stage, make girls take off their clothes at a strip club, or sell something over the phone. That's it. Those are the only things I could
do. Does it take skills to make girls take off their clothes at a strip club? Because every time I've gone, they just do it.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. It takes skills at all. But I was a strip club DJ. And really, all I'm qualified for is to be a Tortuga twin or a sex cult
leader.
Or
to press play.
Yeah. And there's not even any mixing now because it's all out.
I was going to say, you're just pressing play on the song they tell you they want, right?
Spotify playlist.
Can I get 3 minutes?
Seven.
All right, guys, get on out there and tip.
It's Bitsy's playlist. You can pull it up on Spotify.
Question two.
Part two. What is the promise of awards you make to your marks? I mean, your parishioners. And what is the worst sin in your holy book?
Oh, the worst sin is definitely the specific sin of letting your food rot, letting your guns get rusty, a lack of attention or preparedness that lets things spoil or go bad or ruin, right? It's a kind of a entropy is the enemy, and we all have a responsibility to because if you're not keeping your guns oiled or whatever the fuck, then you're not prepared, and you're actually ruining those resources that someone useful could use. Yeah.
In Sparkle Motion, the worst sin is beige. Or any kind of plain is a sin. Everything must always be in motion and be glitzy. That is the goal. And the way that you really can show, you said that, what was the first part of the question? To show your devotion?
No. What is the promise of reward?
The promise of reward.
What is the heaven?
In heaven, we all become beings of pure sparkling light. Oh. There is no more flesh prison. There is no more clunky movement. There is no more clumsiness. We are all pure sparkle motion, and therefore you feel free, and you are not held down by things like paper cuts and random bruises. Instead, you are a banner of sparkling light. That shines upon the world. And so you still exist in the world, and we can see the evidence of those we have lost. Whenever you see the light dance across the water or glitter on a strip club bra, any of those things, anything that glitters, all that glitters is indeed gold.
See, this is starting to sound more and more like a drag queen cult.
Yeah. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
Drag queens need cults too. I think
drag queens need cults too. It's my new bumper
inclusive.
Sticker. Yes,
it's very inclusive.
We are very inclusive. The only people who are not allowed are those who are graceful naturally in their physical forms.
Yeah. So the primary sin in Aint would be any kind of art that is not produced by hand. So not even AI produced art. If you used a computer to create art, that would not.
You eschew digital tools.
Yeah, you eschew digital tools. So I mean, basically, Aint is an artist commune, and so the ultimate reward there
it's
is
Franconia.
No. The only life after death is really your art continuing on.
Lives on.
Yeah. So Aint actually uses a considerable amount of the money that doesn't go to me. That's the tithing part of it that goes to the Aint Museum, which we've started to build in all sorts of cities across the world. And in the Aint Museum,
Aint Archives. Don't forget your Aint Archives.
Yeah, the Aint Archives, and in those museums are these fabulous works of art that immortalize members of our cult. So they don't have to have life after death, because their work, their art will be admired. Their contributions to the world culture will be admired forever, and in that they will have immortality.
You know what? I forgot that I already had a cult that I wanted to start. It's totally different than this. And that's a cult based around the concept of voluntary human extinction. It's a sterility cult, a cult that is that is all about not passing on not creating children, not ending humanity in non-violent ways, where we are where we as a species choose to go extinct by not breeding and not facilitating having children. And it's not something you force on other people, but you do evangelize the concept of like getting a vasectomy and not having kids and not passing along the curse of humanity.
I'm just going to say it's too late. You already started the other cult, Mark.
I know.
Yeah, you can't go back.
We have a cult of two. Yeah. We're going to go extinct.
Yeah.
Splinter. Aww. There could be a splinter group.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And that's how they're preparing.
Right.
Okay. Let's get on to question number three before Nick goes down the avenue with a new cult.
Okay. So most of us like to think that we are paragons of virtue.
Mm.
But absolute power corrupts absolutely. Would your eventual inevitable abuse of your power as a cult leader be financial, sexual, or something more interesting in nature?
Mine would almost certainly be drugs. It would turn out that I was doing lots of drugs that did not make me sparkle. And in fact, that I had lost my sparkle. You know, she isn't the same due to all the drugs, vitamin C and cocaine that I was doing.
Yeah.
That I was actually engaging in things like laying on the couch and reading a book. Ooh. And not moving, that I was actually, most of my clothes don't sparkle, it turns out, and that I only had a few sparkly things that I wore just on special occasions. And then there would be pictures of me that would surface that would demonstrate my plainness, because I am overall a very plain and clumsy girl. And that would be my downfall. And then all of the hot, sparkly girls in the cult would laugh at me, like they always fucking do. Mm. And it would be over. It would be all over.
Hmm. That's rough.
The eventual corruption, the snake rots from the head would be, I think it would be the corruption would be violence eventually, right? Like it would be like,
oh, they're
like
prepared.
You
all
just,
right.
You just get enough people that are like gearing up and preparing for shit to go down, and they have guns and stuff, and like someone's going to be like, you know who we should do is kill that one politician.
Let me ask you this. Are there women there, and are there also straight men? Because I got bad news.
It's a super inclusive group.
Sure. So
it's a woke.
Yeah.
So a lot of woke essay.
So, oh boy. Yeah. Right. So it's yeah. So the corruption is in the, it shows up in the form of violence directed out from the cult.
Mm-hmm.
And it would,
you think
it,
it's,
it would be assassinations. I mean, let's be frank. Like that's what it would be.
So my question was, would it be accidental, or would you be in fact trying to push doomsday along faster?
Oh, accidental. I think it would be in the, it would be, you know, hey, look, this person, it's not that we're trying to accelerate the end times, it's that we're trying to prepare for them. But we also believe that everyone should have like, you know, a good quality of life as we slide into the end times. And if we can delay them, even better, because that gives us more time to prepare. If anything, it's to decelerate the coming apocalypse so that we have more time to prepare. And that's why, like, you know, the people that don't believe in climate change and like the CEO of ExxonMobil or whatever, those are the guys that, you know, someone in the cult takes care of that. Sure. I don't know who. I couldn't say. Don't make me testify.
Diplomatic immunity.
You know what? Don't question my religion.
I think for me, the inevitable downfall of any artist commune is going to be the fact that I'm going to start a Renaissance festival.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that once that happens, there's no going back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So sexual is Tim's answer.
yeah, clearly. So you're starting a cult. Question number four. How much time would it take, and how much money and adoration would you have to receive before you actually started to wonder if you were legitimately a prophet or wise person of some form?
I don't think any amount of attention or money could make me think that.
Yeah, no,
for
I would.
Real.
No, for real. And I don't have imposter syndrome at all, but I would know. I've always been very cognizant of what I am and am not. And I would know for sure that I was fleecing these people. Like that would be a, and it wouldn't bother me because I would know. We started the cult. We're doing it on purpose, right? But I can't imagine there's ever an amount of attention that would make me go, actually, maybe I am a god. But the money, I think, would make me feel guilty after a point. I do think there would come a point where I would feel bad for all the money I had, and I would probably be donating it to causes without telling anybody. You know, or finding a way to keep it for everybody so that when they wanted to leave the cult and they'd be like, I need to leave the cult. They'd be like, yeah, no, I get it. Here's your $10,000 back.
So I agree with Molly, except I think that I would. Oh, I lost where I was going with this. Shoot. Go ahead, Tim. I'll come
think,
back.
I hate to be boring, but I don't think I ever could believe either that I was a prophet or a god or anything like that. I think unlike Molly, I don't think I'd ever feel guilty because these people are dumb. And so I'd probably just at some point change my identity so people wouldn't know who I was, put the money in a Swiss bank account, buy myself a yacht and just sail all over the world and enjoy the ill-gotten gains, knowing full well that I'm going to die and there's nothing after death, so I'm not going to suffer any kind of punishment for my crimes.
And the money will just be intestate to Swiss.
Yeah. So I remembered. So I agree with Molly in that, you know, I don't think any amount of money or power would convince me that I'm holy or a prophet or magical or whatever. However, I also truly believe that having insane amounts of money causes mental illness, a very specific kind of narcissism or something. But so it's very easy for me to say that now because I'm not suffering from delusional amounts of money disorder. But if I got delusional amounts of money, I can't promise that I wouldn't have irrational or delusional ideas like that, because I truly think money causes
the gold delusion.
It's not just money.
Right, power. Sure.
Look, it's the power. It's the influence. Look at everyone from Prince, who I adore, to Diddy and Epstein, who I don't. You know, anybody you give anybody that much, almost anybody that much power, and it changes.
No one man should have all that power.
I mean, that's a good example too.
As I look down at my diamond encrusted piece.
Yeah, yes. I mean, yes, Kanye West is a good example of how well he's got other stuff going on.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Question
number five: as the one true prophet and voice of God, trademark, what is the ideal candy bar?
Ooh.
Mm.
This is a proclamation.
It's a whatchamacallit.
Pre-caramel top or. Post-caramel top.
Pre-caramel top. We're talking a whatchamacallit from the 80s, 90s.
Yeah, motherfucker, right.
Yeah,
what the fuck was with that caramel top?
A whatchamacallit is just no caramel. It's just got the crispy, crunchy, peanut buttery whatchamacallit. Mm-hmm. Like deliciousness.
With the chocolate covering.
Yeah, it's got the chocolate. It's got the rice layer or something. It's a good candy bar. Yeah. It's got a nice... The thing is, it's got a beige layer, which you wouldn't think would be good for sparkle motion, but the letters are in a fun font and they're kind of moving. Like they're kind of up and down. They're not all on the same line. The kerning is a little awkward and the lettering is a little 70s, which as we all know, there was a lot of sparkle motion in the 70s. The majority of the 70s was sparkle motion and cocaine, which are two things that are very important to my cult.
All right. So the answer for my cult is the Swiss, the nut roll bar.
Oh, the peanut nut roll.
The peanut nut roll. The rest of the country might know them incorrectly as like a payday bar, kind of.
Payday has chocolate.
No, does it?
Yes, a payday is a chocolate candy bar with peanuts and caramel.
Chocolate on the inside? Because they're peanuts on the outside. Just like
covered.
No, they're not.
Payday is the one that doesn't have chocolate. They now make chocolate covered paydays. Okay. It's got divinity on the inside, I think.
Okay. Because I always heard of chocolate paydays. That's what Harold eats in the stand.
But the salted nut roll is peanuts on a little bit of caramel and then like nougat in the middle. But
divinity is
divinity. Yeah. Okay, but they don't melt with like chocolate. And their peanuts is very high in protein. It's the perfect prepper candy bar, right? It just so happens that the cult leader also really likes them, and they're absolutely delicious. But We have plenty of reasons to rationalize why that's the prepared, the candy bar of the prepared.
I'm trying to find the original. Oh, there it is. Found it. Good. Okay.
Uh-oh.
So it's currently called a Curly Whirly bar, but it used to be called a Marathon bar. Mm-hmm. And I realized after railing about the caramel on the whatchamacallit, I'm doing a candy bar that is basically caramel and covered in chocolate. And the reason it's the candy bar for my cult is if you look it up, it's got kind of this braided look to it, which is very artistic. And since my cult is basically an artist commune, you need an artistic candy bar. And also caramel's delicious.
It kind of looks like
not on a whatchamacallit.
It kind of looks like a truss.
It does. It does, yeah. A little bit. So, yeah. But it would be, we would change the name from Curly Whirly back to Marathon, because
back to Marathon.
Curly Whirly is a dumb fucking name.
And a marathon is something real, solid, right. Terrestrial.
Right.
A robot can't
and because
do
when
one.
You're in a cult, you're in it for the long term.
You can't generate. Ooh. You can't generate a marathon through artificial intelligence. There's no intelligence in a marathon. Trust me.
No,
it was physicality.
It was developed in ancient Greece, and
brain
we know that
off.
There was no technology in ancient Greece.
Brain turn off by mile 8. Yeah. I guarantee it.
You know, I would have thought a zero bar, Tim, because they're so white.
I mean, that's not a bad one, but mine's better. So,
yeah.
So that's,
all right, now hang on. I have to confess something here. That the whole cult thing happened because I went to Minnesota's largest candy store today to pick up
I'm so sorry.
Chunkies.
Ew.
Which are almost perfect. You guys know Chunkies?
It's chocolate and raisins, right?
Milk, chocolate, peanuts, and raisins
in a
square. But that candy bar would be perfect if you took the raisins out and put in dried cherries. So really, if any of the people who listen to this podcast worldwide know about a thing that is milk chocolate, peanuts, and dried cherries in a chocolate bar form,
I'm going to make this for you. I'm going to make this for you next season.
You
when you come back next season, 2025, I'm going to have homemade cherry chunky bars
you know,
for you.
And
it's
the,
happening.
The ironic thing
I
is you went, to the,
you, so
you went to the world's largest candy store, and in doing that, you supported a cult.
Yeah.
You did, actually. Oh, the one of racism and horribleness.
Yeah.
They are,
dude sucks.
Yeah, the owners are like big red hat pieces.
He
of
went
shit.
On a fucking like he went on a nut job psycho spree online. Like there's
they,
receipts.
They claimed it on a kid that had their social media account.
First they said they got hacked, and then they were like, no, it was us, but that employee's been fired. And then everyone's like, which employee was it? And they're like, never mind. And then they were like, it was just a kid. And like, yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, they
said Candy Lives Matter, for example. And some other even worse stuff.
During the pandemic, they said that because they sell pies, which are food, they should get an exception as a critical infrastructure, an essential business to stay open for retail sales during the lockdown. And someone bought it.
It was wild.
And so they were like touting that they were open and they were lax about mask requirements and all that shit when it was, you know, government required, and it was all just to fucking, you know, sell candy during the apocalypse because they don't give a shit. They're deniers.
But enjoy your chunky bars, Ron.
I will enjoy my chunky bars. You know what else? I will also occasionally listen to Elvis Presley, even though he has everybody's problematic. You just got to know where to cut the cord.
At the Ark Encounter.
All right. Ron, it is delightful as always to visit with you. So glad to have had this opportunity. I'll be seeing you in Arizona again this year. Maybe we'll exchange more than two words this time.
You'll see him this weekend.
If you give me advance warning, I will take you out to lunch or dinner.
All right. I will do that.
But not on a Saturday night or Sunday night.
Well, no, we're going to be busy on a Saturday night. A Sunday night.
Yeah, they have whores to fuck. Come on, it's Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. there's strip clubs close by.
There are. And when they take their tops off, the boobs are down low because everyone in Arizona is old. Or they're really dry. Does sand fall out?
It's
the southern part of America, and the further south you go, the heavier gravity gets.
Like all the women are like gyrating on stage, and sand is just like making trails across the stage out of their pussies.
Dust storm gets kicked up.
Boy, I should have ended this earlier.
DJ, play Darude.
my ex-wife was absolutely convinced that strippers form spontaneously from the sand in Arizona.
There's no proof that that's not true. So not at all. If you have proof that that is not true, feel free to send us something at Geeks Without God. Tim, Molly, Nick, all. If you want to answer our five questions, or if you want to create a cult that Ron has given you a template for, just go ahead and answer Ron's five questions. We'll answer them. We'll read them. We'll read them on the air. Other people will hear your brilliant minds instead of ours, which may be best. Other than that, we are going to be back next week, so we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye!
Instead of a wafer, what does Ron's cult give out?
Edibles underwear.
Don't you mean edible underwear?
No.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
I thought it started with more of a beat.